Country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Welcome to this Christmas episode of In the Country, and I have three great guests joining me on the show today, each with a Christmas song. We have Leah Daniels, Barbara Lynn Dorn, and Nancy LaBerge, two Ontario guests, the first two, and Nancy from Alberta. Let's get things started right now with my first guest from Uxbridge, Ontario, Leah Daniels. Welcome to the show, Leah.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Well, it is great to have you here. We have seen each other a few times off and on, I guess over the last year at a couple of different things, but the first time we spoke on the show was back, I was looking back, it was September of last year, 2013, and we were talking about the Magna Hoedown Showdown at that time.
That's right. Yeah, and now I think I saw you again this year at Magna as well.
Yep, it was awesome, and saw you also at the Cadillac Lounge, where you were part of a songwriter series, Brian Donker's Night, I believe.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, that was such a great night. So many good writers, and I always love the intimate setting of those.
It's such a great way for us as fans and then for you as singer-songwriters to hear a song and deliver a song. It's just the acoustic guitar and you singing it, and then we get to hear the story behind the song.
Yeah. Yeah, it really, and it's a special thing for the artist too, because I also get to hear that from all these other writers, and a lot of times when I'm doing them with some really experienced writers, so it's always amazing to hear and learn from what they have to say and how they write their songs too.
Have you ever come across a song that way, Leah? I mean, the normal way would be a fully produced demo, but have you ever been at a songwriting circle like that, an event, and heard a song and thought, man, I gotta record that?
You know, I mean, that specifically hasn't happened to me, but I definitely have heard, like, writers perform and then be like, you know what, I have to write with that person because they're just amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, because you discover a lot of great, talented songwriters at these events, people whose name you might not have known before, because, you know, the songwriter doesn't always rise to the top as far as name recognition, but meanwhile, they're writing these great songs.
That's right. Yeah, that is the interesting thing. It's like it is a chance for the songwriters to shine, like you said, but you don't normally get to hear from them, and it's amazing when you can hear these really popular songs, and it's like, wow, okay, that's the person that wrote it. That's the they have this story behind the song, so it's always special.
Yeah, but once you know the story behind it, there can be a little more depth to the song if it's one of those kind of songs and there's this personal story that the songwriter has with it. The first song that I heard you do that really caught my attention and just got me to love your voice was your cover of the Elvis song Suspicious Minds, and your video as well for it, which was amazing.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I had a lot of fun with that song. It was funny how it kind of came about. I was working with Sam Ellis, who actually produced my new single as well, Go Back. But he kind of came up with the idea for that song, and he had already had a whole track ready for me when I was recording another song at the time, and he's like, hey, just check this out. Let me know what you think. Maybe you want to record it. And I sang it, and it fit. It worked, and it was so different, and it ended up on my first album. So it was really cool.
Yeah, I love hearing cover songs and breathe new life into them from a different interpretation, which is always cool. Now, you've got a brand new song out called Go Back. As you mentioned, Sam Ellis produced it. The song written by you, Beverly Mahood, your great friend, Bruce Wallace, the three of you wrote this song. The video for it, we'll get into the video, but let's maybe talk about the song first. Where did the idea come from, and how did you guys, what was the process like to write it?
Well, it was a lot of fun. We wrote it in Nashville, and it was the first time that I had written with Bruce Wallace. Of course, Beverly and I, we write together all the time, but it was neat having a male perspective there, too. And we were talking about relationships and past experiences, And specifically breakups and how they can be really difficult, especially when there's one person that's maybe taking a bit longer to get over it. And I think where go back comes in is it really speaks to the person that's maybe having a little bit more trouble moving on and kind of saying, hey, you know, sometimes the best way to move on is to just let go. So that's
right.
Kind of where that song started.
Now, and it's a great song. We're going to hear it in a few moments. The video is out there for people to check out on CMT as well as on YouTube, your website, leahdaniels.com. The video is very dramatic. There is some dramatic events that happen in it. We don't have to give them away, but tell us about that. Was it tough to, you know, when you get, I guess, a script given to you if you haven't had input and you see a direction it goes in, I guess, you know, what was your reaction to that when you read the script?
Well, at first when I read it, I was like, wow, this is almost like a short film. We have actors in it, and there's a storyline, and there's a twisted love triangle that kind of goes,
right.
I guess it doesn't have an exactly happy ending, I guess. But I guess I was at first kind of shocked. Okay, all right, we're going to go there with this. But I, in the end, ended up kind of falling in love with it because it is so different from what is out there, and it's so different for me too. It's the first video that I've done where I'm kind of just the narrator in it. I'm telling the story, and the actual acting out of the story is left to the actors. So I think that was a cool thing to do, and the feedback that I've been getting is that people find it interesting because every time they watch it, they kind of are picking out new things and they're discovering
mm-hmm.
Something that they hadn't seen the previous time they watched it. So, yeah, it's a cool video, and it's been fun getting all the feedback.
Very dramatic, and one like that is one, as you said, people will comment on, and they'll, you know, tell you how they feel about it, I guess, and that's the type of video that people have different feelings about, I guess.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Everybody kind of takes their own ideas from it, and they all have their own perspective as to what happens. Because, I mean, I think
right.
it's one of those videos that it kind of takes a couple watches to fully get what's going on. And so,
mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah. So you might have...
Very cool.
Yeah,
I watched it a couple of times to make sure, Leah, that I didn't miss anything. You know that, okay, this is what
yeah.
happened.
I know, I had to do the same thing, and I was even there the day they shot it, so there's a lot in there.
We'll encourage our listeners to check that out, like I say, CMT, YouTube, check out all those places, check out the video, go back. I wanted to ask you, Leah, about the importance of social media, because this is something you have done incredibly well, and you're a two-time CCMA Award nominee for Interactive Artist, which is basically those artists that reach out to their fans through social media, Twitter, Facebook, etc. How important is that, would you say for an artist out there who's just beginning, how important is social media to have as part of your career?
Oh, I think it's extremely important, especially when you're just starting out, because that's one of the greatest tools that you have, and you can access everyone in the world through social media. So it's
mm-hmm.
been a crazy ride. Like, I started posting YouTube videos, I don't know, maybe 6 years ago, just kind of what was going on in my life and behind-the-scenes things and rehearsing with my band, and slowly started to build fans that way. And so I had fans from all around the world, which was really cool when I started to actually release my own music and official music videos and watch that grow
mm-hmm.
and to hear their feedback. And yeah, there's been people that have been following me for years and years, which is really, really special.
It's pretty cool, because I was at a CMAO conference recently, and they were talking about, I guess, information that you put out there. And, you know, I guess they were saying, you know, for it not always to be about music, and I think you alluded to it there, you put stuff about your life that's interesting, maybe other interests or whatever it is, so that people get to know you, sort of the full you, right, beyond the music career.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, I mean, that's something that I always like to watch, too, for artists that I'm a fan of. I love seeing that kind of behind-the-scenes thing. What is it like when they're not on stage? What happens
right.
during rehearsal? What happens backstage before the show?
Mm-hmm.
I think all that stuff is great to watch.
Now, the new album that you are working on, Sam Ellis produced the single. Sam is producing the full album?
No, actually, this album will have a couple different producers. Sam Ellis was one, Gavin Brown another, and Dave Thompson is the, so three different producers on it. So it's a bit different for me because my first album, Sam did the whole thing, and then this time I've kind of been working with different producers, and it's been awesome to kind of get their different takes on the songs, and I've really come up with an album that is unique, and I've spent a lot of time trying to find the right songs and writing a lot and just picking, okay, what is really me, what's my sound, and I feel like I have really accomplished that with these songs.
That can be a big part of it, right? Because, you know, singers sing and you can write songs, but understanding what your sound is from, I guess, a big part of that's the production as well, but what the sound of Leah Daniels is, did it take a while to get to that point when you were in the recording process this time around and previously?
Yes, I would say I spent so much more time on that this time. I feel like I just have a better understanding of who I am now. I've lived more. I've discovered more about myself. And I feel like that has been a big journey for me because I had so many influences growing up as well. I mean, I grew up, of course, listening to country music and always had that in the home. But then I listened to a lot of pop music, like, growing up, even people like Sarah McLachlan, everything from her to, like, Whitney Houston to Sheryl Crow. And I had all these different influences. And I did a lot of musicals growing up as well. So I had that kind of thing. I went to Humber College for jazz for a year. So I have all these influences in my mind, and then I guess for me in writing my own material, it took me a while to really find my sound and what is Leah Daniels sound like. So I feel like I have now discovered that and really crafted an album that is truly me. So it's taken a while, but I'm very proud of it.
Well, we've got lots more to talk about with you, Leah. We're going to talk more about the album. We have a Christmas song coming up from you, a great one, which I think has a bit of jazz. It's got a jazz influence in it for sure, doesn't it?
I would say that. I think that I actually, wrote that kind of the year after I was at school for jazz, and definitely that totally came out in this song.
Yeah, you can totally hear it. We're going to hear Go Back first. We're going to get to the Christmas song a bit later. More to talk about with Leah Daniels. Right now, it's her latest single called Go Back on In the Country. Ontario country artist Leah Daniels, her latest song called Go Back, written by her, Beverly Mahood, as well as Bruce Wallace. And it's a great song, and the production on it, Sam has really done a good job producing it.
Oh, yeah, he did. He really took our little work tape that we had when we wrote it and really made it something special. He's just amazing at that, really just creating a unique sound. It's always lots of fun working
with Hunter. Yeah, he works with Hunter Hayes too, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. He plays in Hunter Hayes' band, and he writes with Hunter a lot. Yeah, so it's been – I've known Sam for years, and my first trip to Nashville was with Sam, so it's been awesome to just watch him grow and do all these awesome things.
He's from Ontario too, isn't he? I think I read he's from Cambridge.
Yes, that's right. He is from Cambridge.
Wow, pretty amazing. Great to see Ontario people doing so well. The album that you are going to be releasing, what's the timeline on it, first of all?
It'll be released probably, I don't have an exact date, but around March next year. Yeah.
Okay, great. So the songs on it, do you have a hand in writing every one of them, or are there any songs that you heard pitched to you through a demo?
Well, it's funny you ask that. I've co-written every song except for one, and it was exactly like you said. It was a song actually that my manager brought to me, and he said, hey, I just came across this. I get the sense that I feel like this song might be for you, and I listened to it, and he was right. It's called Old Piano, and I couldn't have written it better myself, I gotta say. Sometimes you just hear those songs that speak to you, and you just have to record it. So that was my song, yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, you get these demos, and I'm sure there's a lot you get that, even if they are great songs, they might not be something you can relate to, and then you find one you can, and you've got to record it, right? Because it says something you want to say.
Oh, yeah, and that's it. Yeah, I really want to make sure that every song is coming from my heart. Whether I wrote it or not, it definitely has to be something that I would say, and because that way when I'm performing it, it's real, and hopefully I can make people feel something too when they're watching me.
Yeah. What is it with songwriting over the years? What have you learned, Leah, from when you first started songwriting to now? Maybe a couple things along the way that either a co-writer you learned from them or from a seminar or something, and maybe people listening will pick up on as well.
Well, I'd say when I first started writing, I was so nervous about writing with someone. I mean, I started off just writing by myself and coming up with songs, and then it actually was when I started writing with Sam, and he was like, Leah, you gotta start co-writing. Like, it's really cool. And I'm like, I just don't know if I can. That sounds nerve-wracking, and it's my – because often when I'm writing, it feels like I'm kind of sharing my diary with these people, and that really freaked me out. But after doing it a couple times, you realize, you know what, it's not that scary, and it's actually an amazing process to go through writing with other people, because you're going to come up with stuff that you would never come up with on your own. So I think that's one, is just being comfortable with writing with other people and not censoring yourself. Because I think that's something that we do, I mean, a lot in life in general, but we always have that little voice in our head that's saying, that's a dumb idea. Don't say that. Don't do that. But when you're writing, you got to say everything. Like, just even if you think it's dumb, it might cause the other person in the room to think of something else. And the next thing you know, you're onto a really great idea. So getting over that, I guess, fear of worrying about what other people think and just going for it is another one. Yeah, so I mean, it's the best way to get better is to just do it. It's like a muscle, you know, you got to train it and just never stop. So that's, those
day.
Are some tips, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. The censoring one is so cool because you're right. I think a lot of people in a co-writing situation, they're nervous. As you said, they don't think the idea is good. And they stop and think about it too much before they say it.
Yeah.
And you throw it out there and you edit later and, like you say, and I think if you're in a situation where you're really comfortable with somebody, then that, of course, is easier to do. But when you first meet them, maybe it's a little harder.
Oh, of course. Yeah, and especially when you go down to Nashville to write, and a lot of times you've just met this person. Like, you've literally said, okay, hey, how's it going? And then, all right, let's write together. I mean, I guess it can be a bit odd. Like, that's a strange way to dive into things, but that's kind of the way it is. And so I mean, I've definitely gotten better at it and just, okay, getting relaxed. And you know what? You know, we're just going to have fun. It's just music at the end of the day. That, you know, it's not brain surgery. It's just music. And we're just trying to make people feel something. So that always helps.
Now, you did a duet a few years back, a great one with Ryan Laird, a wonderful duet people can check out on YouTube and at your website. Do you have any envisions, any plans, Lee? I don't even know, maybe on this album or a future album. Do you have a dream duet partner, somebody you want to record with one day?
Oh, I'd say I have many, but, you know, okay, I'm going to be honest with you. One of my biggest, I guess, influences growing up vocally with Celine Dion. And I just loved her. And, man, I have all her albums. And so I think that would be a big one for me, to share the stage or to sing a duet with her would be amazing. I think she's got an outstanding voice.
Mm-hmm. That would be very cool. Yeah, great, powerful voice, a fellow Canadian. Wonderful choice. Let's turn to We Got Snow. I mentioned earlier this, and you agreed, it's got that jazz influence on it. Shortly after you, I guess, were studying jazz at Humber, you wrote the song. And tell us about We Got Snow. There's also a video people can check out online.
That's right. Yeah, We Got Snow. It's just a fun holiday song. It's so funny, actually, how it came about. We were just, the first version of it, because there's actually two versions on YouTube, the original one I did in a day, and it's kind of where the magic all started for that song. And we were like, you know what, let's just record some ukulele and some honky-tonk piano, and hey, why not add kazoos too? And so it was just this crazy combination of instruments and just pure fun. And then the following year I decided, you know what, there's something special about this song. We need to re-record it and do a professional video for it and release it in a bigger way. And that's what we did. And I'm just so proud of it. I mean, the video, we actually filmed in my basement. It was awesome. I had my band in it and we built the set. It was really cool to be a part of that process too, and to work with the director, Tim Deegan, and make it happen. It was just, honestly, I love Christmas time and I love holiday music. So for me, it was pretty much the best thing ever.
It's great when you're on a video set, I'm sure, and you can give some input, some ideas you might have for a certain shot or how something should go. And I guess you feel closer to the process when you feel you can do that.
Yes, exactly. And I think for me, too, because I kind of got an early start on YouTube, I've always been very interested in the behind-the-camera stuff and directing. And, I mean, all my videos that I post, I edit them all. So I have a pretty decent understanding of how it all works. So when I see the professionals doing it, I'm always like very interested in learning too, trying to like scope out, okay, that's how they do that. That's how they get that effect with the lighting or all these different things. Because I do find all that very interesting.
It's really cool. It's another part of shaping the song, the video, and so different shots, because the visuals we see, of course, married with that song, has an impact. So, you know, they go together, which it's pretty amazing the impact that the two have together, strengthen each other.
Oh, they do. Yeah, a great video can make a song better even. Like, it's crazy what it can do. So, yeah, I love doing all that video stuff and being a part of it, if I can.
Now, what is one of your favorite things as we head into Christmas, getting closer, and we're about to play your song, We Got Snow? What is one thing, Leah, that you love about this time of the year?
Oh, you know what? I love caroling. I used to go caroling as a kid all the time. My singing teacher growing up used to always organize caroling with all her students, and we'd go around and carol. And I always, was a bit jealous because I live in the country, so we never got any carolers at my house because we weren't in a subdivision.
Right.
Like, so I guess I always loved the magic of that and always wanted, you know, and secretly hoped that, oh, maybe one day we'll get a caroler at our house.
Oh.
I love the music. I love the sounds of the season.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the music is adds so much to Christmas time. All the great songs and original songs like we're about to play of yours, Leah. Thank you so much. It's been so great having you on the show and catching up, and I can't wait to chat with you in 2015 about the brand new album.
Well, thank you, Dave. It's been a pleasure talking to you too.
Awesome. This is Leah Daniels. Her website, by the way, leahdaniels.com. Be sure to check her out. And her Christmas song, We Got Snow, on In the Country.
Oh, baby, look outside. We got snow. I don't think you should go in the terrible cold. Oh, baby, look outside at that snow. I don't think you should go, just cuddle up close. I don't have a single place to be, so call your boss and blame it all on me. And we'll sing fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la, snuggle by the fireside, watching this wonderful life tonight. Oh baby, weatherman says it's a storm, you better stay where it's warm and go home in the morn. Oh baby, the wind outside is a-blowing, you really shouldn't be going, I've got the fireplace glowing. What's the rush, you know you wanna stay, relax and listen to the music play. And the choir sing fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la, I'll roast a marshmallow.
Great song from Leah Daniels. That is called We Got Snow, and we can sure hear that jazz influence on the song, as she mentioned. And, of course, we started off the show, played Go Back, which is her brand-new single. And it is my pleasure now to welcome to the show my next guest, Barbara Lynn Doran. Hey, Barbara.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Great to have you here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I'm so excited, Barb, because we're going to get to a very traditional song from you, O Come All Ye Faithful. It's obviously one of the classics, but it must be one that you love to sing.
Yeah, that was when we were trying to decide what Christmas carol to record. It was kind of one of my immediate thoughts. I grew up singing a lot of the traditional songs, so I thought, okay, I don't think I've heard a country-fied version of that.
Right.
So we thought we'd give that a shot, yeah.
Yeah, as great as it is to hear all the original Christmas songs we hear at this time of the year, it's sure great to hear the classics and with a new voice on them to put a different spin on it. But I love the traditional songs. We're going to get to that in just a little bit. This has been a great year for you, Barb, because you released your album Love From All Sides and a video for it, which people can check out online. And I was talking to Leah about making videos. You shot one for your song Just the Way It Is. Let's talk about that. What was that experience like for you?
Well, it was my first, I guess, official video, so it was really exciting. Just, you know, from the planning stages of where are we going to do it, and what setting is it going to be, what wardrobing, you know, are we going to have actors, am I going to do part of it, just mm-hmm. working with Replay Media and stuff. It was a lot of fun, so, and I was very hands-on and involved in all of the stages of it, so yeah, it was great.
What's it like when you, of course, you're there and you see all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes, and then you see the final edit for the first time with the song? Got to be pretty thrilling, I would think.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. You sit there and you're kind of going, okay, he's asking me to do this. How is this going to actually look on
right.
film? So you just kind of have to put a bit of your trust into them that, you know, okay, you might feel like you're doing something really silly, but it's going to look good.
Right.
In the end result. So,
yeah.
The other interesting factor for the video was that, as most people know, I'm married, so it's songs about breaking up. So at the end of the video
right.
shoot, I said to Matt, the actor, I said, you know, that was the best breakup I've had in about 20 years, so thank you.
That's awesome. That's so great. I
yeah,
mean, that's
so
thing,
that was a
right?
lot of
you write,
fun.
You write songs about things that you aren't necessarily going through, but other people go through, maybe people you know, people you're close to. It's not always something you've gone through yourself.
No, and I mean, maybe it's something I went through at a different stage in my life, so it's definitely, it's relatable.
Right.
It's something, you know, everybody
yeah.
can relate to, but yeah, at this particular
exactly.
time, yeah, I'm not broken up, so.
Well, that's great to hear. I'll let our listeners know your website is barbaralyndoren.ca, where they can learn more about you. Now, your producer is the great Murray Daigle, and on this album there is a duet that is so beautiful, the two of you do. He has such a great voice. He should do more singing.
I know, he should, and I wish I could drag him out to. I've tried to get him out to some of our Tin Pan North shows and put him in as a featured writer and that, but you know, he's kind of shying away from the performing aspect these days. He used to tour in that and, I guess, perform overseas in that. And so when I asked him, you know, hey, because he sang on the original demo with me, and I said, mm-hmm. You know, would you mind singing on the one for my CD? And he was like, okay, if you want me to. And I said, yeah. And it turned out so great. And, yeah, he does sound amazing on it, so...
Yeah, sounds great. It's a great album, Love From All Sides, which people can check out at iTunes. And you're a big-time songwriter. You write pretty much all your songs. And you've also been pretty amazing, some of the things the honors you've had for your songwriting. Qualified as a semi-finalist in the International Songwriting Competition, finalist in the Great American Songwriting Competition. And you also, this year in 2014, landed a spot on the NSAI's Ones to Watch list, which is a great honor. Congratulations on all that, Barb.
Yeah, thank you. It's, you know, I guess some of the work I've been doing over the last almost 20 years of songwriting, I think it's starting to pay off, but it feels great to get some of these honors, you know, with some great writers, you know, Dana Sherrick, you know, she's, we've written a song mm-hmm. I recently recorded in Nashville that I'm hoping to release early next year to radio, so...
Awesome.
It was kind of a late comer, so it's not on my CD, although it would have been well suited. I'm hoping to have it on my next one, but so it's really great to be put in a class with some of those really, really amazing writers that I respect. So,
yeah, Dana is an awesome songwriter, great person too.
Yes, for sure.
What do you think would be, Barb, the biggest thing you've learned with songwriting, as you said, over 20 years, from when you first started to now? Anything along the way that you realize, oh, man, this is how I should have been doing it, and now you're at that point?
I guess the biggest thing, you know, is that not necessarily, you know, as much as you can have those really super personal songs that are clearly ones you're singing about your life, that, you know, you have to just learn to write songs that are about others as well, you know. So, and that's where, you know, you're not always, you know, in Just the Way It Is, my other single. You know, clearly it's not about me at the time, but so when it becomes mm-hmm. about others as well, it becomes more relatable. But then also on the flip side of that, some of those really super personal songs are the ones that really touch people. So it's kind of a fine line. And I guess the other thing is that, you know, my one biggest thing that I talk about in my group that I have for the my chapter of the NSAI in Durham, that, you know, you kind of have to learn the rules and know them really well, and then you can break them a bit. You know,
right.
Like everyone
that
should
so
know
true.
What the basic structure. Yeah, you should know all the basic structures mm-hmm. of songs and how they're put together and study the, you know, a lot of the time, you know, I do cover songs as well. And when you're singing songs that are number ones or just really amazing songs, it helps you learn how to write them. So
That's a great point. Study the great songs that have made it to the top, that are still around, and see what about them is good, right? Is written well.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, just how they feel when you sing them and how you perform them. And, you know, I listen to the radio all the time. You know, it's mostly country, but occasionally I listen to other stations as well. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so I'm sort of engrossed in it all day long. I find if you sort of start stepping away from really what's happening out there, you do lose touch. So
that's
I think
so
you
true
still have to stay current.
Sounds
yeah.
change. Yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah,
you
for
gotta,
sure.
If
and
you want to write current stuff, you need to listen to current radio.
Exactly. I mean, obviously not copying what's out there, but, you know, just so you're, I don't know, to me, everything you hear, you absorb, and so on the subconscious mm-hmm. level. You know, you're not copying it, but it becomes part of part of your writing.
Oh, for sure. Exactly. No, that makes total sense. For you, Barb, and the answer might be both of these things, but the lyric or the melody, does one come easier to you more naturally than the other?
I'm probably, I guess, I always start with a melody. Or, you know, I will have a title, but normally if I'm sitting down, you know, and I'm strumming my guitar, it's like they usually come together. But I would say that, you know, if I sit down and I immediately start hearing a melody, let's have, you know, a title in front of me, that it'll drive the song faster for me than having a full lyric in front of me. So it just seems to work that way for me. Like I have, you know, when I first started writing, I would write all the lyrics first and all of that. But I just find now that, you know, it's either driven from a melody, and it, usually when it comes, it's fast and furious, you know. So
right.
I try to get it done in one sitting, you know. It's like, okay, this is coming now. I don't want to lose where this is going. So,
yeah.
So that's definitely more my method, I think.
That is an exciting feeling when the melody comes that quickly, right? Because you know you're onto something and you just want to get it out there and tape it or whatever, however you keep it so you don't lose it. Pretty good feeling when that's on a roll.
Yeah, and I find that, you know, it does, sometimes it can change. Like maybe you'll be singing it in your car and you won't have your original reference with you, and you might change it a little bit, but mm-hmm. and decide which one kind of works better. But you always have that original to sort of go back to and decide, okay, well, I think that actually works better. Or, you know, I've made the mistake so many times where, oh, yeah, I'm going to remember that, and then you never do. So
right.
Having a reference is great.
That's got to be such a bad feeling to wake up the next day or whatever and know that you had this great idea, but you've just forgotten it because you didn't record it somehow.
Oh, yeah, and I that has happened so many times. So it's great that, you know, technology allows us to really tape anything we want wherever. You know, you mm-hmm. can, you know, whether it's on your phone or, you know, I have a couple of other little portable devices I like to use as well. But, you know, and then also it's great. You can play it back in your car through your Bluetooth speakers.
Yeah.
So it works
exactly.
really well. So we've come a long
now,
way. So
that's right. Yeah, the technology, it's amazing in getting music out there in general. Of the songs that you've written, Barb, have you had songs that you felt and feel are right for another artist? And I ask this a lot, but because it's interesting. So if you've got a song that you think is a good fit for another artist and you'd like to pitch it at some point.
Yeah, for sure. I've, you know, you mentioned the duet that I had, and I was kind of sitting on that, deciding what to do with it, because I really feel that it's a song that, you know, like maybe like a Tim McGraw, Faith Hill duet. Like, I really could hear, mm-hmm. you know, a real power couple doing that song. I think it's definitely bigger than me, and I would just love for someone else to record it. So I did sit on that for a while, deciding, should we pitch it or put it on my CD? But I figure it's probably safe to put it on my CD and still maybe get it recorded by somebody
else. Still pitch it.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful song. People have to check that out on the album, your album, Love From All Sides. And Murray Daigle joins you on that with his amazing voice as well. Let's turn to this great classic that you are singing, O Come All Ye Faithful. You mentioned sort of how much you love the song, Barb. What is it about Christmas time that you start to get excited about at this time of the year, early December, you look forward to about the season?
Well, for me, as much as it's a really busy time, it's actually, I really try to make a concerted effort to not make it as busy as it can be. You know, like if I'm invited to a whole bunch of functions, I really try and pick and choose which ones I go to, only because for me, I just want to spend time with my family. So to be able to slow things down a bit, you know, and just decorate the tree, decorate the house, and just so that's what I get excited about, just being able to spend more time with my family.
That's awesome. Such a great reason for this time of year and a great thing to be able to do. Thanks so much for being here, Barb. We're about to play the song, and I just want to thank you so much for joining me on this Christmas episode.
Well, thank you for having me.
This is Barbara Lynn Doran, O Come All Ye Faithful, on In the Country. And that is Barbara Lynn Doran with O Come All Ye Faithful here on In the Country. And we are just getting ready to hear from my next guest, Nancy LaBerge, and she'll join us right after this.
If you love hearing the story behind the song, and if you love country music, then you'll love In the Country with Dave Woods. It's the online radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Maybe you're a big fan of Lisa Brokaw or love the sound of Paul Brandt. Maybe it's Dean Brody that gets you singing along. When you tune in, you'll hear from the names we all know and love to the new names that will steal our hearts. Dave isn't following the latest trend. This music is his passion. Tune in and get your country on In the Country with Dave Woods, where country music never goes out of style.
Been a great show so far. A big thank you to Leah Daniels and Barbara Lynn Doran for conversation and, of course, their great Christmas songs. We're going to hear from Nancy in just a moment. Right now, let's hear her song. It's called Holy Moly Christmas, and here it is on In the Country.
Wake up, Mama, wake up. Santa Claus was here. Milk and cookies are all gone. There are presents everywhere. Yesterday I had my doubts, but today I sure believe. It's a holy moly morning after a merry Christmas Eve. Holy moly, Mama, have you ever seen such a sight? A Christmas came to our house after we went to bed last night. I'll never doubt again, yeah, Santa's real to me. It's a holy moly morning after a merry Christmas Eve. To stay up all night long to hear the reindeer on the roof, 'cause Jimmy said Santa wasn't real, and Mama, I needed proof. I might have missed those jingle bells, but the proof's under the tree. It's a holy moly morning after a merry Christmas Eve. Into bed, tell me a story about sugar plums dancing in my head. I pull up the covers and tell me you love me, then you kiss me on the cheek. I say that Santa's coming soon, so I better get some sleep.
Alberta's own Nancy LaBerge and Holy Moly Christmas here on In the Country. She's not only a singer and a songwriter, she's also a professional chef. Let's talk with her now. Welcome to the show, Nancy.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Great.
Can you hear
great
me?
To have you here. I can
great
hear you perfectly.
Awesome.
You sound great.
Excellent.
You are so busy, Nancy, I know, with the tour of this song, mm-hmm. promoting it, and, of course, in conjunction with the Shriners Hospitals.
Yeah, it's I'm on a little break until Sunday, and I head back on the road, but it was pretty amazing, the first leg of it. It was pretty amazing. Everybody was so wonderful, and it was exciting. Got to play for some kids and meet a whole bunch of Shriners. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's amazing. I know you've been to Ontario, Alberta, and I think, are you making it as far as places in the States next?
Yeah, we hit Chicago on the first part of the tour, and on Sunday I head to Sacramento, and then we're there for 3 days, and then we go to L.A., and then I come back home.
Wow, that's wonderful. And, I mean, you're raising money through this single for the Shriners Hospitals for Children across North America. They do such a great thing, and I know that at the age of 12, I'll let you tell the story, you were helped by Shriners Hospitals, Nancy.
Yeah, when I was 12, I had a tumor in my neck, and they didn't know what it was, so they sent me to a hospital in Edmonton, and that doctor sped up the process because he thought I was needing surgery, life-saving surgery. So they got me to Toronto, and my mom didn't have the money to get me there, and somebody contacted the Shriners Hospital and for Children and got me to Toronto, and they, a husband and wife, Don and Mary McCrone, took care of me and adopted me for 3 weeks. They were so fantastic, and it was really, honestly, it was an amazing experience. Even though it might sound like it was traumatic, it was the most love I could ask for. It was pretty amazing.
Wow, wow. And, I mean, here you are, now you're singing to kids who are, you know, going through the things they're going through, the health issues at the Shriners Hospitals. What is it like for you to bring this song and the other songs that you sing and to see the kids? I'm sure their faces must light up to hear this music.
Well, it's truly, I'm so grateful, and it's magical. And, you know, when my manager, Steve Thompson, created this concept and this campaign, you know, it was an idea, but when we were there and our first show with the kids, that drove it home of just how critical it is. And to, the kids need, they need help. They need the Shriners. They need support, and they need love, and no better way to give it than through music.
And this song, Holy Moly Christmas, if people download it, I think there's a couple of other ways through YouTube as well. All the money raised on this going forward forever is being donated to the Shriners Hospital.
That's right, and it's going to be, like you say, forever. We're every year and throughout the year, because this album is not a Christmas album. It just happens to have a Christmas song on it. And everywhere we go and every CD we sell, money goes to the Shriners. And the Shriners are going to be selling the CDs as well and making extra money from doing that. And at the same time, I want to bring awareness about who the Shriners are, because people sometimes don't know what they do. They think they just ride little bikes, which they do, and they're pretty
right.
cute doing that, but they are critical in keeping the Shriners Hospital alive and helping so many people. And the hospital in Montreal helps more people than just in Canada. It's around the world, and they're just amazing for what they do.
That is so awesome to hear. I mentioned when I introduced you, not only a singer-songwriter, but a professional chef. Tell us about that. How did you get into being a pro and making a living with it?
Well, I was in love with cooking when I was little. My auntie, who is the one that came to Toronto with, joined me in Toronto to help me there when I was 12, I lived with her for a good portion of my life and stood in her kitchen and said, I want to be a chef when I was really little. I didn't even know what it was, but she was such a brilliant cook and loved me. And So I love people with food as well as music. And I was fortunate enough to go and work in the industry and then become a certified chef de cuisine and get that become certified. And then I was able to teach at an institution called SATE, and it's a cooking institution, and I did that for a year and a half, and I love teaching, I love cooking, and now I actually sell appliances now, full-time. I'm not chefing anymore, but I teach my clients how to use their appliances, and I love my friends and family with food, so it works out.
Oh, yeah. that's a great way to show love. So around this time of year, Nancy, with Christmas on the way, you do a lot of baking, a lot of fancy Christmas cookies and that kind of stuff?
Not baking, but I'll have a big function at my house and get people to wear stretchy pants because they have to take leftovers home. It's so much fun. I seriously love entertaining, and my friends are musical, so it's I get to share both. So it's pretty wonderful.
Yeah, combining food and music. I mean, what two great things to put in one night or one afternoon?
Absolutely, and it changes people. It really does. It's amazing. So,
yeah, both things do for sure. Who are some of your influences, Nancy, on the singer-songwriter path that you took? Who are the artists or other songwriters that sort of inspired you?
I love Bruce Springsteen. Gosh, I'm losing my mind here. Lyle Lovett, The Mavericks, Annie Lennox, and they're not all just in one genre either. And there's an amazing guy in Canada and here in Calgary, and his name is Troy Kokel. And you might not have heard of him, but I love him, and he produced my album, and I've written with him, and I continue to write with him, and I'm a huge fan of him, and he's one of the most talented writers in Canada, and that I've heard and worked with, and love him.
He's amazing. So. I do know Troy. I have not met him, but I know him from online for years. Great guy. His wife, Joni Delorier, you know, their song they wrote together, Pickup Truck. That's so amazing that he produced this album. That's so cool.
Yeah, well, so he co-wrote with me Like a Train, and Joni, his wife, co-wrote Real Cold Fall, I Know You're Gone, and Home Again. And I've known them for years, love them both, and they're hilarious people, and they're just immersed in music, and they're really, really generous and kind. So I'm looking forward to continuing to work with both of them, but it's wonderful.
So talented and so kind, Troy and Joni. That's awesome. And your friend Amy Bishop wrote, she's your co-writer on Holy Moly Christmas.
Yes. I haven't even mentioned her yet. She's a love and a super talent herself. And we wrote this at her kitchen table with her little one attached to the table, sitting in a little high chair. And the louder we sang, the louder her baby sang. And it was so brilliant just to write about, you know, a kid's Christmas experience. It was so much fun.
And this all started at the age of 13, Nancy. I know from what I read, you started with poetry before you set stuff to music.
A tortured soul. I was a tortured young youth, you know, and I had to put it down. And why do I have to do dishes, you know? Why can't I go out when I want?
That's where the first song ideas come from, right? Maybe a paper route, and, you know, and then you get into the relationships.
That's right. Relationships at 16, that's when the guitar came out and the heartache set in for sure.
That's awesome. Nancy, I want to thank you so much. Where can people find you online? I know there's a Backyard Betty's website, but is there a place specifically for you?
Yes, if you go to holymolychristmas.com, we're going to keep that website up for now, and it's going to then switch over to my official website. But everything that we're doing just for now for Holy Moly Christmas, this little bit here will be where you can hear the music and read about why we're doing this. And if people want to make donations above and beyond what we have listed in the, beyond the downloading the song, you can actually make a donation to the Canadian Shriners and or whatever you choose, Canadian or American, and then you can download the music, all that kind of stuff, and the video's there. It's all neat and tidy, and it's everybody that put in pictures for the video. There was about 600 photos. Certain people were selected out of that that fit the video, and we're fortunate enough to have their history and their childhood and all that kind of memories in our video. So
wow, that's wonderful, Nancy. It's been so great having you here, not only to hear "Holy Moly Christmas" the song, but the story behind it, how it's helping out the Shriners Hospitals for Children. Thanks very much for being here. Great pleasure.
Thank you so much. And if I stand in front of you, I'd give you a big old squeeze, and really appreciate you airing this and letting people know about it.
My pleasure, Nancy. Thank you so much for those kind words. My guests on the show today have been Leah Daniels, Barbara Lynn Doran, and Nancy LaBerge. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap it up for this edition of this In the Country Christmas Special.